Leighton, is he muted? He's got red, white.
All right, check. There we go. Praise the Lord. All right, jumping right into our announcements. Hello, everyone. Good morning. You like that? We just jumped right into it, didn't we? That's right. Praise and worship. Well, while it's on my mind, I just want to say to anyone who's a visitor, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, I would love for you. It's difficult for me sometimes to kind of to locate people when I get down and in the crowds and start seeing family. I get overwhelmed sometimes and caught in hugs. But if I haven't met you yet, please, I would encourage you. I know it's kind of weird sometimes approaching someone you don't know, but I invite you to just say hey to me because I'd like to connect with you and see how your time has been. If you've been visiting for some time, let me know what your experience has been like. And that I would just love, if nothing else, just to pray with you and ask God to bless your time of worship here and to empower you and equip you as you're going and ministering in the world. Okay? If this is your very first time, we're not going to make you stand up or anything like that. But because we spared you that experience, I ask that you come and thank me. Okay? Good. All right. I've been to some churches. We'll come and we'll sing some people some songs. I think that's great. But sometimes I've seen some faces. We're like, you know, and they're just terrified. And so you didn't have to go through that. So just come up here and shake my hand. All right? Good. Prayers and condolences to Charlene Nishizawa and the family on the loss of her husband, Ed. I had the opportunity to go yesterday along with some other families here. Thank you for those who were able to make it and those who've been praying. And when you see her, she's not going to be here today. She shared with me yesterday, but when she is here, please encourage her and pray with her. And the Lord blessed. I was able to meet with Ed Nishizawa's grandsons and share the gospel with both of them. And we had a good time of conversation. About one of them had questions about why I was so hopeful and so joyful. And I was able to share the Lord Jesus with him specifically about the victory I have and the joy I have. And he's got some thinking to do as he goes back to Toronto. So be praying for them. Matthew and Jeff are the grandsons, okay? Salvation for them, please. All right. Walk to End Homelessness, March 23rd, registration, 9 a.m. Walk begins at 10 a.m. at Homer Stryker Field. It is sponsored by Housing Resources Incorporated. For more information, please call the number listed in the bulletin, okay? Also, we have volunteers needed, once again, for upward closing ceremony. I just wanted to say thank you so much for those who have signed up already. I'll be reaching out to you this week to talk about ways that you can contribute and serve, okay? But it's not too late to sign up to be a volunteer then, okay? That's going to be March 24th, 5 p.m. We're asking the volunteers to be there at 4:30 p.m. that day, okay? All right. Guess who's coming to dinner?
I don't know.
That's right. That's so good. Who said that? Good. Guess who's coming to dinner? I don't know is what was said. Good. You won't, all right? April 12th or April 13th are the opportunities you have to sign up either as a host or as a guest for this crazy fun event. Some of you guys got a chance to do it last year, and we'll be doing it again this year. Hosts will decide how many guests they can seat at their house for this event, as well as make a main dish for dinner. 1 week prior to the dinner date, guests will be paired with a host and asked to bring a salad, vegetable, rolls, or dessert to accompany the main entree being served. This is a great way to get to know other people and to have a grand time doing it. Sign up in the Welcome Center for both host and guest opportunities. For more information, give me a call at the number listed, and I'd like to let you know if you've been missing out on small group, you've been missing out. There's just no other way to put it. But guess who's coming to dinner is another opportunity for you to encourage one another. In our class today, we talked about encouraging each other with God's word, and so I implore you to encourage somebody at your home or to go to somebody else's home and to encourage them, okay? That's our goal, to be a blessing and to be used of God in that way because he gets the glory when that is done, okay? Good. Looking here, Easter 2019, okay? Just want to let you know that's going to be Saturday, April 20th at 3 p.m. 8,000 eggs. They need some volunteers to help out with that. All right, so if you'd like to help, please see Chad Kilburn or Krista Asher, and sign-up sheets to volunteer are in the Welcome Center, okay? Annual Adult VBS, that's going to be May 15th, 16th, and 17th. More information is going to be coming soon, so just want that on your radar. Graduation Sunday, May 19th, we will recognize students who are graduating this year. That's going to be awesome. Always exciting to see young people taking the next step. Detroit Tigers home plate, June 8th. Okay, so see Brother Brian Cooper if you have questions. And then also the sign-up is in the Welcome Center. The cost for that is going to be $39, okay? Not $40, $39, okay? Okay. LAC Annual Mother, Daughter, and Friends Tea, May 4th. Okay, sign up back there if you're interested in being a part of that as a hostess. Ladies Bible Study from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Welcome Center, okay? And they're continuing the study for 52 women from the Bible. And then also a special announcement today, young adult group, okay? First of all, I'm going to say it again. If you're a young adult, you need to be meeting with other young adults to talk about the Lord Jesus, because if you aren't, you're going to be lacking. That's it. That's the end of it. You need encouragement. Coming here and hearing Pastor Thaddeus preach the word and me ramble on about announcements is not going to just rock your world for the rest of the week. It's here to urge you and to compel you on what you should do, and then you get together and you talk about how are we going to get this done in Jesus' name and by the power that's provided. You need to urge one another. That's really it. I didn't do it that way when I went to college, and I paid for it. Maybe you've already paid for it. You're paying for it now. It's time to wake up, get together, and take it seriously. Get together, all right? And plus, we're doing something fun today, all right? March 10th. That's not today, is it? Today, March 10th? Today is March 10th, okay? Sorry, March 10th at Revel and Roll on Stadium Drive at 5:30 p.m., instead of the Dieter's home. So you guys are going to be having a great time, okay? So get together, young adults, all right? Good. Wednesday dinner, chicken and dumplings. I don't even think I've ever eaten that before, all right? But corn, I don't even know what that is. But corn and casserole and dessert, don't forget to sign up. Please sign up if you're going. The food's been delicious. Praise God. And thank the ladies who have been helping out. Men's basketball, hey, come on, join us. It's a great time of fellowship. And then also men's prayer, change of location with men's prayer breakfast. We're still meeting here, 8:30 a.m. in the gymnasium, and we've been having a great time of fellowship there. Food pantry also is always an option for serving, and see Krista Asher or Lynn Anderson for assistance there, okay? Also, one last announcement. You've probably been missing out a little bit if you haven't been a part of the small groups, but if you have been in the small groups, and also you've been getting a little bit if you've been a part of and attending the sermons here, we've been talking about being salty Christians. Whew. Okay? I don't know. I'm just, whatever. I say it all the time. I'm getting messed up in a good way by this whole series. It's awesome. I've been urged by God and His Word as we've been exhorting one another and encouraging each other to do what God says, and it's been changing my life. And like I just shared, I got a chance to share the gospel with people at a funeral. I don't even know how that's close to being appropriate, but the Lord created a natural opportunity for that discussion to come up with two people because I just had a salty mentality, y'all. Amen. And the reason I have that salty mentality is I got some salty brothers and sisters putting that in me with the Word of God. And so as you are finding yourself with opportunities to be salty, and you're like, man, I just want to encourage people and let people know that stuff is actually happening out here. That salty stuff is taking place, but I don't want to be like bragging and boasting. How do I do this the right way? If only there was a way to write down a note and just slap it on the wall that everybody would look at and know that things are being done. Well, the good news is that we have the salty board. That's right. Salty testimonies are now available on the wall in the Welcome Center. And I encourage you to do this. If you found yourself being exceptionally salty this past week, and you're like, man, I want to share that testimony, we'd encourage you. We actually really ask you to share that with us by writing a short note about what God was able to do through you, because you aren't salty of your own saltiness, right? God provides the salty savor. And so God worked through you in some special way. Write that down on that board back there. Oh, excuse me. That's right. Write it down on the post-it note. Please do not write on the board. Write it on the post-it note. Do not write your name. It's anonymous. And put it on the post-it board note thing, okay? When you take the post-it note and you put it on the board, people come up and they read it and they're encouraged. Okay, there's a lot of space. Tall people, please, don't take up the bottom. Okay? Just came to me right now, all right? That's right. That's right. Okay? Let's look out for our short brothers and sisters, okay? We don't want people climbing on chairs and having accidents. All right, good. So let's pray, okay? Let's ask God to bless this because, you know, we can laugh and have fun, but at the end of the day, there is it's like a bomb went off and people are dying and God has enlisted us to provide relief and aid, and that's very serious. Okay? So, Father God, thank you so much that we can rejoice together. We can be thankful for so many things. When we obey you, it goes well with us. When we trust you and we watch you handle business on our behalf, do things that we could never hope to do, you're able to do more than we could ever ask or even think. You are our God. So thank you for bringing us in this to this relationship with you. Thank you for calling us children. Bless Pastor Thaddeus as he presents the word. Bless our time of worship as we continue to sing praises to you, which you are pleased with. You've called for us to do this. This is our holy responsibility as kings and priests. God, thank you for the revelation that comes from your word. We can live with confidence knowing what pleases you and knowing that you give us the power to resist what displeases you because it brings death. God, help us to be salty, to beat back death. Help us to be light, to beat back darkness, and to celebrate as life, liberty, and light shines all around us until the day you bring that to perfect completion and we are in nothing but life, liberty, and light forever and ever without a trace of darkness, death, or pain or sorrow. We rejoice today in song. In Jesus' name, amen. Look to your neighbor, shake their hand, give them a hug, tell them Jesus loves you, stay salty.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seat this morning, I got something I want to share with you. Pastor?
Yes, sir.
As I get older, the time change just wears on you more and more. You know, this morning, I'm an electric razor kind of guy. I'm shaving this morning, and I had this one pesky hair that I just could not get to cut. I'm gouging my beard. I'm just having a heck of a time. It just wears on me as I get older, you know. Just a dumb thing was stuck on the mirror. That's how you tell them. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance.
Love. will sing. No other name. Jesus. Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name. Jesus. Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign.
Satisfied.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Father, you are more than enough. Lord, we just pray for Pastor as he comes this morning. We just pray you pour your spirit out on him, Lord. We just pray that our hearts are prepared for the message you have for us. Father, we just pray as the ushers come forward this morning that we'd be generous givers for everything that you've given us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the life that we have and the blessings of it. Lord, we thank you for just being able to be here this morning to worship and to serve you. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each one of our lives, that the things that are preached, that we could all be touched. We pray that you would bless this offering. You'd bless the ones who give, the ones that cannot, that it be used for your kingdom and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This world is not mine.
to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings 2. A Russian scientist and a Czechoslovakian scientist had spent their lives studying the grizzly bear. And each year, they petitioned their respective governments to allow them to go to Yellowstone and study the bears. Finally, their request was granted, and they immediately flew to New York. And then they drove west to Yellowstone National Park. They reported to the ranger station and were told that it was grizzly mating season and that it was too dangerous to go out and study the animals. They pleaded that this was their only chance, and finally the ranger relented. The Russian and the Czech were given portable phones and told to report in every day. For several days, they called in, and then nothing was heard from the two scientists. The rangers mounted a search party and found the camp completely ravaged with no sign of the missing men. They followed the trail of a male and a female bear. They found the female and decided they must kill the animal to find out if she had eaten the scientist because they feared an international incident. They killed the female and opened her up, and in the stomach they found the remains of the Russian. One ranger turned to the other and said, "You know what this means, don't you?" The other ranger responded, "Of course, the check is in the mail." All right, if you don't like puns, I apologize. If you like puns, then you're welcome. This morning, we're going to talk about how salt is used for healing. And we are the salt of the earth. To be salty means we bring healing to this world. Now, I told you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're going to look there in just a minute. But let me read to you from Ezekiel 16. In verse 4, it says this: "And as for your nativity in the day that you were born, your navel was not cut." So they never cut the umbilical cord. "Neither were you washed in water to supple you." So when the baby was born, they didn't wash it in water. "You were not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." So God is speaking to Israel, and he's to the land of Israel, and he's speaking metaphorically. But he uses this phrase, "You were not salted at all." See, here's what they used to do with babies when babies were born. They didn't have all the antibiotics and things that we have today. So when a baby was born, they would cut the umbilical cord, they would wash the baby off, and then because of the trauma of birth, oftentimes there are little cuts and scrapes that the baby has, and so they would literally take and pack the baby in salt to treat the wounds from birth. And then they would wash the salt off. So they didn't salt the babies to eat the babies, okay? They weren't being cannibals. They salted the babies to deal with possible infections, to bring healing. When Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," we are healing to this earth. And we are to bring that to our world. So here in 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse 18, it says, "And when they came again to him, for he stayed at Jericho." So here's what's taken place before this. Elijah, he was a prophet of God, great man used by God. His successor had been chosen, Elisha. So if you get the two confused, here's how you tell them apart. J comes before S. So Elijah lived before Elisha. Elisha succeeds Elijah, okay? So Elisha takes over for Elijah. Elijah's taken up in a whirlwind. And when he was taken up, there are 50 prophets. They're like, "Hey, can we go look for his body?" And Elisha says, "No, don't look for Elijah's body. You don't need to," because he knew that God took him. But they wanted to go look, so they went to look. Well, here's what Elisha did while they were looking. He went to this town called Jericho. Now, I have a slide. It was in the email. Layton, if you could look that up. It's a picture. Thank you. We'll reference it in just a second. So, Jericho, it's a cool town, okay? An old town, one of the oldest cities that there is on the planet. And in Jericho, they had a well, a spring, an underground spring that fed the city water. So let's read about what happens here in verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, so this is the very first like solo project, solo work that Elisha has to do for the Lord. Okay? I mean, just imagine this. He came across the river. He took Elijah, gave Elisha his mantle, which was like an outer covering. And they would use it as a sign of who they were. Okay? And Elisha takes it and he hits the riverbank and it parts. And he walks across. And all the people are like, whoa, the power that Elijah had is now on Elisha. So Elisha, he's into Jericho. The 50 guys, they're looking. They can't find the body because the body went to be with the Lord. So now they come back, and the people of the city are talking to Elisha. And in verse 19, they say, the men of the city said to Elisha, behold, I pray you, the situation of this city is pleasant. We have a good city here, as my Lord sees, but the water is not and the ground barren. The water was poisoned. It was bitter. And it was so bad that not only could the people not drink it, when they used it to water, it killed what was supposed to grow. So verse 20, Elisha said, bring me a new cruse, which is like a bowl, and put salt in it. And they brought it to him. And he went to the spring of waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from this any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now this is amazing. You have water that was not just undrinkable, it was unusable. And it's coming up out of the ground. And Elisha pours some salt in it. Now, what's the salt? Salt is the picture of the healing. So when Jesus says you are salt, you know what he's telling us? You are the picture of the healing. But it was the word of the Lord that really healed the waters, right? And it's the word of the Lord through us that actually brings the healing. So Rachel and I, a few years ago, we were in Jericho. We found this amazing thing in Jericho. We went to the spot where Elisha healed the waters. And guess what is in that spot today? A water bottling plant. They take water from that spring and bottle it and sell it all over the world. Isn't that incredible? I mean, what kind of healing? So, do you got that picture? Layton, go ahead and throw that picture up there. All right. Oh, so it says the oldest city, okay, fountain in the world. Because right behind there, and it says Elisha healed the waters therein. All right. We were blocking it. Sorry, we should have moved off. Well, you see right there, that's where the spring head comes up. And they take and they divert water and they bottle water and sell it. Talk about a miracle, right? Talk about the power of God. See, sometimes we think that when God uses us to bring healing to a life, that it's not a big thing. When you share the gospel with somebody and they trust Christ, that is eternity. It doesn't just fix their problem now. It brings healing for eternity. And then you know what happens? When they're salty, they invest into others' lives. And it's like this spring water that got healed, and even now, thousands of years later, over 3,000 years later, is still feeding and watering people. the irrigation that they pump out of their that spring well, that it keeps that whole place Jericho is beautiful, greenery, lush everywhere. Why? They're still pumping water out of there, and the land is no longer barren. So let's look at what this passage teaches. First of all, we find in this passage that there's bad water. Bad water. Let me just talk about some bad water that might be present with us. What do our children hear about themselves? First out of our mouths and then from the world. I mean, there's this push in this world today that your kids should not be who God made them to be. They need to find something else to be. There's a push in this world today that is telling our children that our children are not valuable, are not precious. And this message just keeps going to the children from the world. And you know, if it's coming from you, if you call your kids stupid, if you tell them they're dumb, if you tell them they don't have any talent, if you tell them that they're a waste, you tell them, oh, you were an accident anyway. There's some bad water there, isn't it? There's some bad water in the message of the Bible. Because you know how people treat the Bible today? The Bible's whatever you want it to be. It's open to whatever interpretation you want to make of it. And when we give that message, there's just bad water that's going out. How about salvation? Salvation has been so ruined by the way people teach it today. You've got to be good enough or you can't be saved. Well, if that's the case, I'm burning in hell. Or you need someone else to do something for you, like take communion or be baptized or pay some money. That's all bad water. How about God's morality? As people talk about morality in this world, they want to exclude God. They want society to explain morality. That's bad water. Because you know what society will do? They'll find their sin and find a way to justify it. That's bad water. How about the example that husbands and wives set for their kids? Are you setting an example that teaches them the truth of God? Or are you giving them an example that undercuts everything they hear on Sundays? That's bad water. How about the example that the church sets? If the church has infighting, and if the church has disunity, and if the church is pulling in many different directions and not pulling together, that's bad water. So here's what bad water brought. Bad growth. The land was barren. If you can't water the crops will die. And in Israel, if you were depending on the rain, especially during that time, there were some bad kings in Israel. And God was like, I'm not going to let it rain. I'm going to let everything dry up. So they depended on these springs of waters. And the spring water was terrible. It was bad. And it killed all the growth around it. So here's what happens with our bad water. When kids hear the wrong message about themselves, they become depressed. It becomes bad growth. Suicidal. And they don't accept who God desires them to be. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When we feed bad water into our children, we produce bad growth and even death. When the message of the Bible is not presented the way that the Bible speaks. There is a loss of authority. God doesn't mean what he says, and if he doesn't mean what he says, then we really lose all hope. And it creates bad growth in the people who hear the wrong message of the Bible. When there's no clear way of salvation or a wrong way of salvation, that bad water, it shows many ways, and man must earn or keep it, and so figure out your own way to heaven. And you know what happens to that? There's bad growth, because then people trying to figure out their own way never find the way, the truth, the life, Jesus Christ. And what happens? There's bad growth. There's death. When there's bad water of God's morality, what happens is people do not have a desire to get married anymore. They don't understand Christ's relationship to the church because God's morality is gone. When the example of the husband and wife is bad, and that creates bad water, then the family is not showing the relationship of Christ to the church. And if we're not showing the relationship of Christ to the church, we're providing bad growth. And when the church sets the example in a poor way for the world around it, it creates bad water of that produces bad growth and bickering, fighting, a lack of unity. It spoils people's trust in God. So bad water produces bad growth. And here's the result. The third thing is barren soil. All right, so everything we've talked about now, that's not being salty, is it? That's like the opposite. So let's get to some good stuff, right? So here's the remedy in 2 Kings. The water was healed with the use of three connected things, all right? All three of these things are connected, and I think we can connect to these things today. The first is we have the new bowl, all right? The new bowl. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. So, if you are in Christ today, you are a new creature. That new bowl, that is you. You are the new bowl. What does that mean? You carry the healing with you. Now, why didn't you just say, get some salt and throw it in there? Because he needed the salt to be transported by a vessel. There are only two kinds of people in this world. Vessels that do the work of God and vessels who do not. You go, oh, wait a minute, I'm neutral. I'm neutral. No. There is no neutrality. If you're neutral, you're not doing the work of God. If I put my car in park, it doesn't go anywhere, right? And I may throw it into neutral. But am I really going anywhere? No. You're either engaged or disengaged. You're either a new vessel or you're not. In Ephesians 2:15, it tells us that Christ makes us into a new person. He takes the old man and he puts the Spirit of God in us and we become new. So the first item that was used was the new vessel. And you, who are saved, are the new vessel. So you say, wait a minute, saved. Well, here's what that means. Jesus, we sang about it. He died on the cross for our sins. In fact, the choir hit on it. The praise team hit on it. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. When he died, he took the penalty, the punishment for all sin that's ever been created by all people. And he, in his death, literally became your sin. Then he was buried. He was really dead. His soul separated from his body. His soul went to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights while his body was resting in the tomb. And then after 3 days and three nights, his body was rejoined by his spirit and he sprung back to physical life. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus' death on the cross, the fact that he was buried, and then that he rose again, here's what he does in you. He takes your sin and he puts it to death. And he says, you will never be responsible for this. I am making you new. And he buries your sin. The psalmist says that he separates it from you as far as the east, I got to get my directions right, is from the west. East and west, they never meet. That means that God permanently, forever, sets your sin away from you. And you become a new person in Christ. So if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, today I encourage you to do so, so you can be a vessel of healing in this world. The second thing that was needed in this passage was salt. Salt has so many connotations in Scripture. We've looked at a whole bunch of them. I'm going to teach you a new one today. It's called the Salt Covenant. You're going, the Salt Covenant? Yeah, this one's kind of, I'm glad we don't do this anymore, okay? I'm going to read from Numbers 18, but turn in your Bible to 2 Chronicles 13. 2 Chronicles 13. In Numbers 18, the Lord says, I have given you and your sons and your daughters with you by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto you and to your seed with you. And in 2 Chronicles 13 and verse 5, it says, ought you not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over to Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Okay, a covenant of salt means that it will last forever. Now let's think about the water that was healed. Because when the Bible was written in 2 Chronicles or in 2 Kings 2, when he healed that salt, he says, it's even healed to this very day, to the day that it was written. And now we're 3,000 years later, and guess what? It's still healed. So this covenant of salt means it lasts forever. Forever. The covenant of salt lasts forever. They didn't have notary republics back in that day, right? If we want something legally, a document legally verified and certified, we take it to a notary public, it gets signed, and they put a seal on it, correct? They didn't have that. So here's what they did instead. They would find witnesses, and they would take salt, and they would both eat some salt. Huh. Anybody just eat just salt all by itself? Yeah, it's not good. Don't do a lot of that. All right? They just eat some salt. And that was a sign of a covenant that was made that was perpetual, not to ever be broken. As you imagine, there probably weren't a lot of covenants of salt that the people made. But here God says to David and his seed, and then also to Israel and those who were Israelites, he says, I'm making a covenant with you forever. Now we are in a covenant of salt with God. It's not made through the law. It's not made through a promise made to a family. It's made to all who trust in Jesus Christ. That forever, this is so awesome. Okay, I've already said it once. I am not a perfect person. Amen. Yes, my wife says amen. I'm surprised she didn't get up and start dancing. Yeah! And my kids, they're all going amen, but I'm going to say it out loud because Dad is not perfect and he'll get me. So, and even though I am not perfect, and even though I will fail, I will sin. God has covenanted with me that because of the sacrifice of Jesus, that neither height nor depth nor principalities or powers, nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ my Lord. He has covenanted with salt with me. I am his forever. And he has given to me eternal life, and I will never perish. Nobody can take me out of God's hand. And nobody can take you out of God's hand who are saved. God has entered a covenant of salt with you. Woo! No. So let's look at the third thing. The Lord said. So you have a new bowl that carries the salt. The salt is thrown into the water. Healing has not taken place yet. Here's when healing took place. The Lord said. This is Elisha's like first public work. I mean, first day on the job. Hey, why don't you heal this spring of water that doesn't work? It's never worked. It's poison. Sure, no problem. Give me some salt. But now what he does is he relies on the word of the Lord. Let me tell you what that means to you and I. When you rely on the word of the Lord, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 2 seconds or 55 years. It doesn't matter. Because it's the word of the Lord that brings the healing. So here's what the Lord said. I have healed these waters. There shall not be any more death or barren land. When you present the gospel to somebody and they trust Christ, God enters into a covenant of salt with them. And he says, I heal them. Now they will be fruitful in their life. Every single person here who's trusted Christ, you will produce fruit for Jesus. That's what he's called you to do. That is the word of the Lord. You will be healed. And you won't be barren. In Colossians 4:6, it gives us this awesome thought. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You are the salt of the earth. So now as you speak, if you're salty, you will speak the word of the Lord. That's how you season your speech with salt. Speak what God wants. No more bitter waters. No more bad growth. No more barren soil. Because we can communicate the truth of the Word of God. We communicate the healing power of Jesus Christ for this world. I'm going to give you an example, okay? Two things and we're done. All right, hang with me. President Woodrow Wilson, I'm going to read a story that he wrote. He said, I was in a very common place. I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a personality had entered the room. Now, wait a minute, we have a man who was the president, right? And he said, I became aware that a personality entered the room. Isn't the president usually the biggest personality in a room? Right? No matter who it was. But listen to this. I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a personality had entered the room. A man had quietly and upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut and sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic, He wasn't like preaching or teaching. Showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done for me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. D.L. Moody was in that chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barbershop. They talked in undertones. They didn't know his name, but they knew that something had elevated their thoughts. And I felt that I left that place as I should have left the place of worship. My admiration and esteem for Mr. Moody became very deep indeed. That's a president writing about a man getting his hair cut. What does that tell us? When our speech is seasoned with salt, when we're speaking the word of the Lord, he changes things. I mean, if you've ever been in a barbershop, there can be a lot of negative talk going on, right? A lot of complaining. But when a man who was just salty in the way that he lived, he changed the entire atmosphere of that place. Be salty. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for your word. I thank you for human illustration, real people examples of those who are salty, because it helps encourage us. Lord, if there's anyone here right now that's never trusted in you, they're not that new bowl. They don't have salt. They're not salt yet. I pray that right now they would cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive them for their sin, to come into their life, make them a new creature. And Lord, if they ask you to do that, you are a God who never says no to that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do your work in each heart and life. I pray for the Christian this morning. Help us to speak the word of the Lord. Help us to make a difference to those that are around us. And Lord, if we are falling short in this, if we are not bringing healing to the world around us, then I pray right now that you would help us just to set the course right, to put the seasoning back in our saltiness. So God, have your way in each one of our hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never trusted Christ, I'm going to invite you to come and talk to me. Tell me that you want to trust Christ, and I'll connect you with someone who will show you from God's word how you can know Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and, man, you haven't been experiencing that healing, your life hasn't been bringing that. Maybe you're the one, when you enter the room, it gets down. The atmosphere crumbles quickly. There's a remedy for that. It's to come to Jesus and say, Lord, you've saved me. Help me. Because he wants you to be salty. And his word this morning can change each one of us and make us what he wants us to be. Let's stand together as we have this closing song.
Spirit of the living God. when you move, when you do what only you can do. It changes us, it changes what we see. And what do we see when you come in the room? When you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see.
So when the Lord speaks and he says, I have brought healing to these waters, the land will no longer be barren. Are you hanging on those words? Do you hang on those words? You say, you know what? That's right. That's true. That's right for me. I can bring healing to the world around me. And I hope that you go into this week and you know that your God is so great that when you go as a new vessel, that you are salt and you take his word, that he heals this land. And he'll do it because he's that great. So, Lord God, to you, the only wise God, the one who's created all things, and for you, everything was and is created. For your glory, everything consists. And so, Lord, you want to bring glory to yourself through each one of us. God, help us to be healing agents. Help us to be salty in this world. So now to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be honor and glory and power both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him.